That program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.
Good day and welcome to Capital Irish, the Irish-related programme that comes to you every Sunday at 12 o'clock on Access Radio on 106.1 FM. More, you can listen to it from any part of the world on the internet at wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz. My name is Jim Friel, originally from County Mayo. With me in the studio is Ray Ferguson from County Cavan, who is doing the important technical side, making sure that you can all hear this programme wherever in the world you may be. We are supported by our sponsors, Peter and Susie McGuinness, the Wellington Irish Trust and the Hutt Valley Art Society. This programme was pre-recorded before Christmas, as we presenters have a Christmas break. And of course, the studio here also closes down. So I hope all of our listeners have had a good Christmas and that you will all have a great 2023. Today I will play some Irish music or song and hopefully find some snippets of news that may be of interest to you. I read in the Irish Central that President Joe Biden will unveil a memorial dedicated to 1,000 County Cork miners in Colorado later this year. Most of the miners were from the Beara Peninsula in West Cork that worked in the Leadville silver mines in the 1800s. Many of the Cork men died in the mines at an average age of 23. It was tough work. The mine was more than 10,000 feet above sea level. The miners are in unmarked graves within the Evergreen Cemetery in Leadville. The memorial will include a bronze statue which depicts a miner on bended knee, clasping a harp and a pickaxe and looking towards Ireland. It was designed by Wicklow artist Terry Brennan. In the early 1880s, 3,000 Irish-born people lived in Leadville. Twice they led massive strikes in the silver mines, bringing the Colorado economy to a stop. They were demanding better working conditions and better safety regulations. Many of them and their descendants moved later to Denver and Butte. In fact, my own grandmother's uncle was in Butte as a priest. He was an O'Malley, and he died there as well. So the Irish have, they get around, or they did, their contribution has been huge to the world, but especially in America, in all walks of life. I will play a song now in memory of those Irish miners in Leadville, Colorado, and to everyone else that toiled far, far from home. The song is Hard Times, Come Again No More. Now, this song was written by an American, Stephen Foster, way back in 1854. And this is Mary Black and Dolores Keane's rendition of it. This song has always been, for many good reasons, I suppose, always been a very popular song in Ireland.
Let us pause. was in life's pleasure and count its many tears, while we all some sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. It's a song.
Of you know who first coined the term artificial intelligence? The Irish Sentinel had a story last year about the person who first coined the term, and his name was John McCarthy. He was an Irish-American, the son of a penniless County Kerry immigrant. He coined the term in 1955 at Dartmouth College Conference he mainly organized, which was the first ever artificial intelligence conference. John McCarthy went on to win the Turing Prize, that's one step below the Nobel Prize, in 1971, for his contribution of intelligent machines that we now call computers. McCarthy stated that his ultimate objective was to make a machine think exactly like a human, capable of solving problems and self-improvement. Many of his colleagues thought that John was nuts, but he persisted in his belief that the machine can be made to simulate every aspect of human learning. John died in 2011 at the age of 84. Computers can do a lot more now than they did in 2011. Personally, I am not sure whether that's good or bad. Hopefully, it's for good. John McCarthy was proud of his Irish heritage and had many trips to his father's birthplace. John's father was a strong workers' advocate and worked as a union organizer in Los Angeles during the Great Depression. Now, this John, the junior, turned his back on his father's politics and became a convert to conservative republicanism. I'm often sort of baffled about how many second-generation Irish-American people, when they do well financially, how they support the American Republican Party. A great number of Donald Trump's supporters, for instance, are Irish Americans, as are Latino and Black Americans, such as Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas, whose ancestors were probably slaves because Clarence grew up in poverty in the American South and Georgia. Some Black Americans call him Uncle Tom Thomas. Well, anyway, that's life. Do any of you know where the term Murphy's Law originates from? Can you guess? Was it in Ireland? The answer is no. It comes from an unlikely source. In 1948 and 1949, tests were being done out at Edwards Air Force Base in California. Research and Development Chief Edward Murphy, another Irish-American, decorated World War II pilot, was carrying out tests on how humans could tolerate what they call G-forces or air pressure on impact while flying those planes at high speed. Now, a key sensor was installed backwards by Murphy, who never checked it before it was made operational. As a result, the test went haywire to everybody's embarrassment, including Edward Murphy. In a press conference after the event, Murphy's boss used the term Murphy's Law, saying the incident had taught them all to plan for it. And of course, the term stuck, because as he said, anything that could go wrong would go wrong. In the 1960s, Murphy worked on the Apollo moon mission on safety and life protection issues. He always claimed that his law was a positive development by teaching people to expect the very worst and safeguard against it. He was a true optimist, was Murphy. He died in 1990. I read that little snippet in the Irish Central. Anyway, time for a song. And we're going to have The Dawning of the Day. Now, this is an ancient song and has been kind of hijacked by Patrick Kavanagh's famous Raglan Road song, as, of course, they used the same air or tune for Raglan Road. But this beautiful original song was written by Thomas Connellan in the 17th century, originally in Irish. Thomas Connellan died in 1698, so that gives you an idea of when the song was written. And it was translated into English in during the famine times, actually, in 1847. Well, here is Celtic Woman's version. Hope you like it.
One early
you like that. Other snippers of interest. Those who have been watching or been interested in the soccer football World Cup in Qatar last month may have noticed a red-haired player with a nice-sounding name in the Argentinian team stood out among the Spanish names. His name? Alex McAllister. Well, his ancestors were part of a wave of Irish who immigrated to Argentina in the 1830s, 10 years before the Great Hunger. Two Irish parish priests decided to move poor people from the Irish Midlands to Argentina, where land at the time was available and work for Irish farmers, plenty of it. It is estimated Now, 1 million Argentinians can trace their ancestry to Ireland, making it the fifth largest Irish diaspora in the world, after the United States, Canada, Britain, and Australia. I'm not sure where New Zealand comes in there, but it doesn't mention it. And the only one whose first, this is Argentina, and the only one whose first language, that's the diaspora, is not English. I read that in the Irish Central recently. Another interesting piece that I read was about one of President Kennedy's sisters. Her name was Kathleen. She was known as Kick Kennedy, the rebellious fourth child of JFK's parents, Rose and Joe Kennedy. She died in a plane crash at the early age of 28. Her story was featured last year in the series Million Dollar American Princesses on one of America's TV channels. She was one of the nine Kennedy children. Now, when JFK's father, Joe, was appointed United States Ambassador to Britain before the war, the family all moved to London. At a party there, Kathleen met young William Cavendish, the future Duke of Devonshire. She was only 18 at the time. Kick Kennedy, as she was called, William Billy, and he was always known as Billy afterwards. Now, when Germany invaded Poland in 1939, the ambassador sent all his family back to the United States. Kick was 19, and she was rebellious and wanted to stay with her love, Billy. But she was ordered home by her parents. She was determined to return. So when she got back to America, she joined the Red Cross. And coincidentally, they were sending volunteers to England. So later, against her parents' wishes, she met up with Billy Cavendish and married him outside the Catholic Church, which was a big no-no to the Kennedys, especially in those times. So she and Billy's, that's the future Duke, married in a civil ceremony in 1944. Now, the only Kennedy to attend the wedding was her older brother, Joe Jr. Billy, of course, of most people at the time, was in the military. And 4 weeks after he married Kathleen Kennedy, he was sent to the Belgian front. And 4 months after the wedding, he was shot dead by a German sniper. And unfortunately for her, the month before that, her beloved brother Joe was also killed. He was on a bombing, he was a fighter pilot, and on a bombing expedition somewhere in France, he was killed. Now, Kick Kennedy, the widow, was now, of course, Lady Cavendish Harrington. She soon found love again. And again, this time with another wealthy Protestant aristocrat, and his name was Peter Fitzwilliam. And of course, now, real no-no for the family, he was a divorced man. So the Kennedy parents were horrified and threatened to disown Kathleen, their daughter. Anyway, while traveling to France with her new man, Peter Fitzwilliam, to meet up with her father, a storm caused the plane to crash. All passengers and crew were killed. Her father, Joe, was the only Kennedy at the funeral. The mother, Rose, refused to attend, apparently, according to what I've read in the Irish Central. She, that's Kathleen, is buried in a small churchyard in Edensor in England. Her husband, Billy Cavendish, the Duke, was buried in Belgium, where he was sadly killed. Sadness and early deaths through plane crashes and assassinations have dogged the Kennedy family right down through the years. Another sister, you know, her called after her mother, Rose. She was in an institution for most of her life and was, according to what I've read, was virtually abandoned by the family, and she died in an institution. So a sad stories, I think. Anyway, after all that, I will say farewell for now. Don't forget to tune in next week. There'll be somebody else in the chair. I want to wish everybody a happy time and, you know, a great new year. I will go out with a song sung by Sharon Shannon, and it's called Galway Girl. Now, this is live in Galway, and she lives in Galway, does Sharon, and of course she's originally from County Clare. If you look it up, Sharon Shannon has also had quite a sad life. Her long-term partner or husband died not that long back with cancer. So life, you don't have to be old to die. Anyway, that's it for me. Fare thee well. Until next time.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team. You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.